It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by Clip It, the hottest app that is out there. Watch TV, make clips, and share. For more information, check them out at clipit.tv or check them on Twitter at clipit.tv.
Hey guys, John Barchard here. You guys know how much I love to play fantasy football. So I need you to listen up because I want you to join the highest rated fantasy football app. It's called Draft. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but be done in under 5 minutes, and they last just for 1 week. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join right now for week 11. And the best part is you get to play for cold, hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites, on all the DFS sites, because you're always trying to figure out, okay, where should I start this guy? The value, and I don't have enough money to do all that stuff. It doesn't happen on Draft. You get a selection of every premium player. You just got to be the smartest one in the room. It's a 6-player snake draft, so you get in, you get out. Tournaments start from $1 to $1,000 to everything in between. 3-person drafts, 6-person drafts, on and on. The options are limitless. And all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. All you have to use is promo code BGNR. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using promo code BGNR. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they are offering BGN Radio listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. No excuses now. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with promo code BGNR.
Welcome into the 15th episode of the Counterpoint Podcast, brought to you by BGN Radio and BGNRadio.com. I'm your host, Jack Fritz, as always, and boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you today. The Eagles just came out and won in Dallas. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how Jill staved off the engagement call-off. I hope Lane Johnson's grandma's crying somewhere. We're going to check in on the Doug Peterson confidence meter. Just another example of why I'm proud of Eagles fans. We're also going to talk about Cowboys fans because you have to do that. I'm also ready to move on from Corey Clement, and I'll explain why in a little bit. And we will also have What's the Line Saying. But first, how about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys? Things are going so well for America's team. I tell you what, there is not a more low-key dumpster fire in all of sports than the Cowboys from 95 to now. That team has 2 playoff wins. And they carry themselves like they're the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Lakers. And like their fans. I mean, that's their fan base. So, you know. But like, they carry themselves like they are this elite team in the NFL. Like they have this storied winning tradition. It's been 20. I'm not a math guy. What is it? 23 years? No. 22 years. Listen. Math's not my strong suit. That's why I'm talking to you today. I'll let you nerds out there figure out the math. Anyway, 22 years. since their last Super Bowl. And no, we've never won a Super Bowl, whatever. Two playoff wins for a team that has such a storied tradition. And oh my God. They are such a dumpster fire. They can never get out of their own way. And I love every second of it. And now Dak looks like hot garbage without Tyron Smith or Ezekiel Elliott. Dez Bryant is trash. Dez Bryant is absolute trash. He is not the same receiver he was. He is done. He is finished. Jason Witten's more effective than Dez Bryant. How does that make you feel? That defense without Sean Lee, who is one of the uglier people I've ever seen in my life. Sean Lee is a not very attractive male, if I do say so myself. So seeing him with his long, droopy face on the sidelines just had me filled with joy. And I tell you what, it didn't start off well. And I am low-key starting to get concerned about the whole, you know, if they get a first-round bye, them coming out slow in a playoff game, because I thought they would not come out slow off a bye week because they're going into Dallas with Sunday Night Football. And, you know, maybe Carson got a little concussed there. He went to the tent for a little bit, which was the longest 3 minutes of my life. He goes right into the tent, and then they went straight to the commercial. And I was like, well, what the fuck? You know? It was just like, oh, okay, Carson might be dead. Okay. And then luckily he's fine because he's a man and he's 6'5", 240. And I think that was my favorite moment of the broadcast when it wasn't. It was Cowherd yesterday. And, you know, Cowherd goes back and forth on Eagles fans. But he's right about Wentz versus Dak. He said that Dak's a Corvette and Wentz is a Maserati. And he's like, one is 6'2", 230. The other's 6'5", 240. He said in that voice. And I was like, well, I got a little semi-chub. But yeah, it was just so evident on Sunday. Like those arguments are done. Those arguments are done. And I'm not going to, you know, I realized something on Sunday is that I'm just not going to bring up Keen anymore. I'm just not going to do it. It's really not worth it anymore, which is fine. I'm just done. Because anyone who thinks Wentz sucks or Wentz isn't that good or that or even Prescott's better than Wentz. I mean, I always think Wentz is better, but it's even a little bit of, it's sort of an argument. I mean, not in my eyes or in rational people's eyes, but I guess you can make a case, but I think they're both fine quarterbacks. But Wentz is clearly better. The people who think Wentz sucks are just trolls, and I'm not going to give them any more airtime. I'm not going to bring up Kian Fahey anymore. There's going to be no more Kian Fahey fucking sucks updates. So I'm sorry for that, but it's just not worth it because they're just wrong, and it makes me angry and whatever. But yeah, it was just like Sunday night, and they started off slow. And I'm not going to lie, gang, I was worried about the spot. You know, people were tweeting at me like, Jack, are you in the spot or are you playing some games right now? I wasn't playing any games. I was not playing a single game. I was just like you. I was very nervous about the spot. I was losing faith in the spot. But the spot came through. The spot wants you to trust it. It wants you in its personal trust tree. And you just got to trust it because it came out. And the point differential of the spot in the second half is just out of this world. Maybe it takes a quarter for the spot to warm up. But definitely got rolling on Sunday and coming out in the second half and just eating their souls and shutting up 93,000 of those assholes was the best moment of the year. I mean, winning on the road in a tough environment. This team doesn't give up. Listen, this team is not your father's Eagles, all right? They are not your father's Eagles. They respond to adversity. They bounce back when they're down. And it starts with a quarterback. And I want to talk about Wentz's swagger for like 30 seconds. Because, you know, when Carson came in and we saw the first couple interviews and whatever, you're like, oh my God, this guy's a Bible thumping nerd that doesn't have any emotion. Which it's fine. But like he's this nerd that's just going to be in the classroom and has no personality or whatever and like no cockiness. That's done. You started to see it in the Redskins game. Wentz got a first. No. You started to see it in the Panthers game. Wentz got a first down. A guy hit him kind of late. He got up and threw the ball at him. And I was like, okay, Carson, my son, I love it. And in the Redskins game, he ran for a first down, got up, dropped the ball, and let out a nice little first down pump. And then Sunday. They all score on Kenyon Barner's touchdown, and they're all doing the making money thing. And Wentz is just like making the money, and then just shows out in front of all the Cowboys fans. and he opened his arms up and said, I got this. It is, he's developing a swagger and a cockiness that I did not see coming, and I am so very much here for it. I absolutely love it. Now, we got to talk about Jill for a second. Mandated once a podcast. That was part of the engagement. Just kidding. It won't happen often. But I talked about how last week, if they lose two straight, the engagement's off. And I was very nervous for the engagement in the first half. I was like, wow, I jeopardized the entire season. And I was sweating it out a little bit. I also changed the background on my phone from before the season. So two things that we can put to bed now. I can keep the engagement on, and I don't have to change my background photo. But it was perfect. It was so Jill, it hurt. She texted me at halftime saying she's going to bed. And I was like, oh, cool, because the Eagles just started playing well or whatever. And she's like, oh, I haven't watched a second of it. It was perfect. I was so happy. Anyway, but yeah, so the engagement is still on for now. For now. I wish we could have a live feed of Lane Johnson's grandma watching that game, because she sounds like a heavy drinker, because after the game, Lane Johnson said, I'm sure she had a few beers and went to bed. So that would have been interesting. Also, like, I just want to see her cry. I want to see Lane Johnson's grandma crying somewhere. I'm totally here for that. I hope she's miserable that her son just dominated DeMarcus Lawrence. And Lane Johnson, like, is dominant. This offensive line is dominant. Vitae is dominant. Vitae is very good, which is very exciting. And losing Jason Peters, like, oh my God. Cowboys fans, tell you what, some of the most weak-willed people I've ever met or seen in my life. They're just weak-willed people. They're easily trolled. They falter quickly on their team. You know, we lost Tyron Smith, and we lost Sean Lee, and we lost Ezekiel Elliott, and your coach sucks. And if he could adjust, your team wouldn't be that bad. And if you could draft well, your team wouldn't be that bad. You have a bad organization. The Cowboys are a bad organization. They lucked into a fourth-round pick, and they're paying him $1 million. And guess what? You have no depth anywhere. You have shitty personnel departments running your team. You can't find good talent anywhere because you lose one player in your defense, and all of a sudden, that means everything. The Eagles lost Jordan Hicks. Have they faltered? No. They're playing Joe Walker, who, again, is not very good. But you know what? Next man up mentality. And I might just get that tattooed on my body because that's all they talk about. That's all the Eagles talk about is is the next man up mentality, which is fine. Like, that's what you want championship teams to do. But, like, man, they really, really believe in that. But, man, these Cowboys fans are just – they're so weak-willed. And I don't want to turn this into, like, things you hate about the Cowboys. But, like, they're complaining about the refs. You're talking about how the refs swallow the whistles? Did you not see Alshon's arm getting held down or Zach Ertz's arm being held down? You got your ass kicked. Just accept it and move on. Like, Jesus Christ, your team's not very good. And you have absolutely no depth anywhere. You lose one player or two players, and all of a sudden, you can't play football anymore. And you got the clapper back there, who is just sitting there clapping the whole time. I mean, Dak Prescott was quitting in the fourth quarter. He comes walking out the field with his head down, and there's Jason Garrett clapping. Like, the guys, if that guy was my head coach, I think I would just boycott the team. He sucks. He's so bad. Now, our head coach, on the other hand, listen to our head coach.
Friday after practice, we were talking about getting on that plane 8-1. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We're getting on that plane going back 9-1. Yeah, yeah. Coaches and players, you're the best team in football right now, but hey, we still got a long way to go. Yes, sir. Long way to go. Where's Camus? Camus!
Hey, Camus!
Hey, listen. First half, right? Hey, a little bit, spin, sputter, whatever. Defense, you kind of kept us in there. Special teams, offense, we got on track. We rode that big offensive line like we do. You guys kicked ass. You kicked ass in the second half. That's a great job. Defense got us touchdowns. Defense scored in the second half. That's a great job. That's what we talk about, preaching about touchdowns. Congratulations, man. I'm so proud of you guys for the way you battled.
Like I said before, man, stay in the moment. We're building something special, man. Stay focused on the daily tasks, getting better every day, man. It's a race to improve every week. Next week, we're getting back to whooping some ass, man.
Circus,
let's go. Family on three. 1, 2, 3.
Now, first off, let me just apologize to Camus Grugier-Hill. I came at you hard week one. You dumped Gatorade on Doug Peterson for a win over the Washington Redskins. I was out. You could have jeopardized the season. That's why I'm not, like, fully apologizing to Camus. Because, I mean, you could have jeopardized the season. So, while I appreciate you coming in and making some clutch-ass kicks. I mean, how ridiculous was that? Like, that was like Roy Oswalt playing left field for the Phillies. But it was so cool. It was also really, really cool. And it just shows how cool this team is. And, like, how they literally don't give a fuck what happens. They're going to find a way to beat you. That is what championship teams do. Kimu Grugier-Hill. A semi-apology. I'll give a semi-apology for how I acted week one. But can you blame me? I was on edge. You can't Gatorade bath after week one. It's utterly ridiculous. But I appreciate your efforts the other night. You are truly versatile. You are a monster on special teams, and I'm very glad you're here. Is that enough? Is that a good apology from me to you, Camus? Thank you. But Doug Peterson, I mean, what can you say about this guy? I mean, he was definitely corny as shit last year. And like it was just like, all right, we get it, dude. All shucks. We got a love on him. This guy has changed, man. This guy's got some swagger to him. Him and Wentz, who would have thought the two biggest goobers in the world would turn into swaggy, confident guys? I love it. Guy's like swinging his dick around, slamming it on the table. We're the best team in football. I love it, Doug. I absolutely love it. The Doug Peterson confidence meter. See, I know it's been a little while, but I actually did do a Doug Peterson confidence meter, but the episode never aired. So it was after the Broncos game. And my Doug Peterson confidence meter was at 85%. And I said the only way it was going to get to 95% was if they, you know, made the playoffs and won a game. If they won a game in the playoffs, it was at 95%. It was at 85% then. It's at 90% now. The Doug Peterson is my coach confidence meter is at 90%. Just a meteoric rise. Congratulations, Doug. You walked into that game at an 85% on the Doug Peterson confidence meter, and you walked out of those doors 90%. It's time for you to get to 100%. Bring that Super Bowl home. I'm proud of Eagles fans I'm always proud of Eagles fans, but just another example. This is in Jerry's world. We are so obnoxious, and I love every second of it. I love that we go to opposing stadiums and show them what's up. I love this. Like, we are so overly confident in this team, and we should be because they are absolutely fantastic. They are fantastic. I love every second of it. Going on the road and taking over stadiums, a 93,000 seat stadium in a game that the Cowboys had to win. It's just hilarious to me. And it would never happen here. It would literally never happen here. And I find that to be hilarious. And last thing on Cowboys fans is that they really truly are anywhere. They're like the biggest cockroaches. Today I'm walking into work and I was, you know, talking about the game. And the security guard says, oh, well, I'm a Cowboys fan. And I was like, are you kidding me? I walk in, you protect this building every day, and you're a Cowboys fan? Can no longer trust them. And I'm going to talk to management here. I'm going to try to get him fired. Because how can we trust anyone at this point? How can we trust a security guard to protect a building if he's a Cowboys fan? You can't trust him to do anything at that point. There's no trust here. If you're from here and you're not an Eagles fan, I don't trust you. That's how it should be. I don't trust you one bit. And speaking of Cowboys fans, I know you guys were probably surprised when I said at the top of the show about Corey Clement and why I don't want him on the team anymore. And because I found out this week that Corey Clement is a Cowboys fan. Corey Clement is a Cowboys fan. He grew up as a Cowboys fan. And as soon as he got drafted by the... Not drafted. As soon as he got picked up by the Eagles, oh boy, did that tune change. But guess what, Corey? I ratted you out. I found it out. And I want you gone. I want you gone. You can no longer be trusted on this team. you're out. You're out of the trust tree. You're 100% out of the trust tree. And like the bullshit is that he was definitely one of those kids in high school that would be around throwing up the X, talking about Super Bowls, and being all up in our faces for being Eagles fans. And now I see him tweeting and he's relishing in how great Eagles fans are. Like, no shit, dude. You could have been a part of it, Corey, but guess what? You're not. You're done. And this is your punishment. This is your punishment, Corey. This is exactly Eagles, Howie, Doug, Joe Douglas, whoever. I know you're listening to this podcast, and this is what I want you to do. And this is an exact request from me. I want you guys to make the Super Bowl, and I want you to cut Corey Clement right before the Super Bowl so he cannot enjoy it. He does not deserve to enjoy a Super Bowl won by the Eagles because he grew up a Cowboys fan. He probably rubbed it in those kids' faces at school that he was a Cowboys fan, that they won Super Bowls, and now he's like, oh my God, Eagles fans are amazing. Wow, crazy how that works. And I've got a very important quote from Corey Clement. I know you guys are probably like, well, Jack, you're being super overreactive. Wait until you hear this quote from Corey Clement in 2015, but I have to bring on a special guest for that. All right, I'm here with Joe DeCamera, the fine midday show host here at WIP.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. And Joe.
Yes.
You are the preemptive Cowboys hater on the air in Philadelphia, in my opinion.
I appreciate that. I wear that with a badge of honor. I don't know if I'm fully deserving of that moniker and title, but I'll take it. That's very nice.
I have a very important question for you.
Yes.
Corey Clement, I believe, should be cut right before right before the Super Bowl. Once the Eagles make the Super Bowl, I think he should be cut right before it. And before you either agree with me or disagree with me, listen to this quote from 2015 from Corey Clement.
Yep.
There's just something about the Cowboys that I love. He said, adding that it dates back to when Terrell Owens jumped ship from the Eagles to the Cowboys between the 2005 and 2006 seasons. I'm staying with the Cowboys for life now.
So you want me to tell you whether I think they should cut Corey Clement?
As punishment,
yeah,
he should be cut right before the Super Bowl so he cannot relish in the glory of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because now he's acting all fugazi about how the Eagles fans are great. And you know he's that guy in high school that was throwing up the X and talking about 95.
I'm going to have to say no on cutting Corey Clement. I think that it's ridiculous. I think that, I'll tell you this though, actually, I did not know that he was a Cowboys fan until this past weekend. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the hell, man? I've been talking about this guy growing up locally, being an Eagles fan for the last couple months, and I found out he's a Cowboys fan. Look, Trot grew up a Cowboys fan. Trot's one of our favorites. It's going to happen sometimes. What's different is Trot was from down there, so that's acceptable from his end.
Right.
Corey Clement wasn't. Look, I don't like the fact he grew up a Cowboys fan. I didn't know it until recently, but I'm not cutting Corey Clement.
That's fair. It's fair. It's fair. Maybe I'm overreacting.
Maybe.
But listen, he's a cockroach. He can't be trusted now.
Hey, man. That guy's running the ball hard.
7 touchdowns.
Yeah, that guy's playing good ball.
All right, thanks, Joe. Go back to your show.
See.
Shout out to Joe DeCamera for joining me. He is like the preemptive anti-cowboy voice in Philadelphia. So he was the perfect guy to bring on for that. Listen to his show every day, 10 to 2 here on 94 WIP. It is time to check the Counterpoint mailbag. Last week I thought it was okay. We got some serious questions, which is fine. I mean, you know, I know what I'm talking about with the Eagles. I just, you know, I like counterpointish questions. And today, some very counterpointish questions, which made me very happy. The first one comes from AA. Hi, Jack. I have a very important question that I need to bring to your attention, as we need to quell this heated debate once and for all. Who is the most handsome man on this Eagles team? Objectively, I think it's Kendricks. He's got that kind of face that score a 95 on one of those rate your attractiveness apps solely because of that jawline. Gorgeous jawline. I've been told I possess a less than conventional taste in men, so for me personally, it's got to be Rodney Dreamcloud McLeod. How could anybody look at that big boyish smile and go, nah, P.S. Dallas sucks? Very, very important question. And here's the thing, is that Kendricks is the right answer. And Kendricks is the right answer because of that jawline, because of the beard, because of the hair. He's also got like a soft face where, like, if you looked into his eyes, you'd be like, oh, Michael. And then it'll hit you pretty hard. Like, Michael Kendricks is like back, which was probably the biggest upset of the season. Also, the calves, man. Michael Kendricks has got some jacked calves. Like, he's just got it all. I mean, there's a reason why Rihanna, was so interested in a backup linebacker on the Eagles. I mean, the guy just must slay out there. McLeod's a good answer. You know, he's got a really nice smile. He looks happy all the time. Like, McLeod seems like a great guy to go out and like rage at a club with. Just not that he's like a big partier, but he just looks like so happy all the time. The Eagles actually like, overall are a pretty attractive team, minus Carson. Like Carson's not very attractive, if I do say so myself. But I think a sleeper and a guy who could take over as the most attractive Eagle in a couple of years is Matt Collins. Matt Collins is a very nice looking young man. He's got great dance moves, as we saw against the Redskins. He's just got a really nice, soft face, a boyish face. I think definitely Matt Collins is creeping up there on the most attractive members of the Eagles. But right now, I mean, Kendricks, until he's gone, he might be the most attractive member of any team here in Philadelphia. I think that's a very important question. Okay, Jack, this is from Matt Schrader. Jack, you're spot on about wanting a girl who is either Philly sick diehard like you and your listeners. Hey, shout out to the listeners. You guys are all diehards. Actually, diehards isn't the term. It's diseased. Diehards, you know, everyone could be a diehard. A diseased is a different level. And there's nothing in the middle. Thank you, Matt. I agree. Question. Do you believe Darren Sproles and Jason Peters will be back with the Eagles next season, especially given the higher cap hit of these two vets? And I hate to say it, but the Birds are winning without them. It would suck for them to have been with the team during the pathetic Chip years and then not get to play with them during the Wentz and Doug years. But I don't see how I can bring them back with tight cap space. Thoughts? Here's my first thought on cap space is that Howie finds a way no matter what. Like, I don't know where. He must, like, invent cap space because it comes out of nowhere. So I don't totally worry about cap space until I have to worry about cap space, especially with Howie. And I also don't worry about draft picks. Like, I know everyone's talking about how the Eagles don't have any second or third round picks, but I don't worry about that until, you know, I have to, because I trust Howie that much. Now, I will say, like, Jason Peters will be tough to bring back because he's coming off of, I mean, he's 35 coming off of that injury. And Vitae's looked pretty well, and I expect him to draft some guys. Peters will be tough to bring back. I'd entertain him as a coach. Just bringing him back, like, just move on to Vitae and move on to the next kind of era here. And I would be surprised if Jason Peters comes back, because, like, that's a pretty serious injury for a 35-year-old guy to come back from. Now, Sproles, on the other hand, Sproles is just, like, a freak. And I wouldn't really have a problem bringing him back on a super cheap deal, because, like, he's still super effective out of the backfield. Well, I assume he's super effective out of the backfield. I would really like him to be the third back with Ajayi, Clement, and... Oh, God. Sorry, Clement. Okay. If he admits his sin and takes the Super Bowl ring, but he doesn't play in the Super Bowl because he got cut. And he so here's what has to happen for Corey Clement to get back on the good side. He has to not play in the Super Bowl. The Eagles have to win. He has to repent his sins. And he'll be back in the good favors, because you don't just get to hop on the bandwagon once you're a member of the team after you probably talked all that shit back in the day. So yeah, Corey, come on. Sproles, I would really like to be the third back. So yeah, I would bring back Sproles on a cheap deal. Peters, I'm not so sure. This is from Mike Murphy. Two pressing questions for the podcast. I love pressing questions. Do you think Carson Wentz has ever been shit faced? See, now I know he's a big Jesus guy. I don't think he's ever been shit-faced, but he seems like a great guy to go and have a casual beer with. Like, I could see Carson having two or three beers, just talking about football, talking about hunting, talking about life. He would be a great guy to grab a beer with, and I don't think he's ever been shit-faced. I don't think so. That's my final answer. And why is Ajayi so slow? Concerned about his bow-leggedness. Now, he did get caught. Like, that was surprising. He got ran down. But also, like, it's a safety going against a running back, and the running back's already had to hit a hole and get down the field. It was definitely a little surprising. And the breakaway speed isn't totally there. And his legs look do really weird sometimes. But I don't think he's slow. I think he's just, like, you know, he gets down the field. He runs really hard and gets to the line. And then, I don't know. Now they're just opening up big holes for him, and he's not used to it yet. But I'm not worried about Ajayi. I think he looks really good, and I wish they would use him more. Like, I know I got another question on Twitter from this, just why aren't they using Ajayi more? And I think they will continue to lean on him, but they also trust everyone in that running back room. And I think it's kind of a really solid rotation, and they're running over teams. So I'm not totally worried about Ajayi. I think he's doing really well for his role, and I'll take it through his first two games. I mean, some big runs, touchdown. It's all there. Really happy with what Ajayi's shown so far. Before we get to what's the line saying, I just want to talk about Carson Wentz a little bit more. Because last night, I started thinking about life after Carson. And if you haven't thought about life after Carson, I urge you not to. I know it's like hopefully 14 years away, 14 or 15 years away, and are all going to be super mature by then, and Counterpoint's going to be electric in 14 years. But like, I've already started thinking about life after Carson and how dark of a time that's going to be, because he's going to be the guy that has brought us multiple rings. And like, I want my kid, like, I want to have kids so that they can grow up watching Carson. Like, Carson is such a rare quarterback, and he's such a rare player. He's such a rare guy. And like, it took them, they haven't won since 1960. And it's taken them this long to find an elite superstar quarterback. That is a long ass time. And it's not like you can go straight, like, sure, you can go straight from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and things like that. Or you could be the Dolphins and go Dan Marino to nothing. Like, it is such, like, don't think about it. It is scarier than thinking about death and after, like, what happens after you die, which is also something that is a terrifying thing to think about. It's not as terrifying as thinking about life after Carson. Life after Carson is a dark place, and I'm probably the only one in America that has thought about life after Carson. It's not a good place to be. But the other thing I want to talk about with Carson, is it appropriate to start capitalizing, like, when you're talking about Carson Wentz with your friends, is it appropriate to start capitalizing the H like we do when we're talking about Jesus? Like, him, he, like, is it okay to start doing that? Because I'm thinking I'm just going to start doing that, and hopefully my friends catch on. But only text, like, your diehard friends in the capital H. I think it's perfectly acceptable, because he is it. He's our ginger Jesus. And I think it's time to start capitalizing the H when in referring to Carson Wentz. Don't even text your friends saying, like, Wentz is the man. Say he is the man. And capitalize that H, just like we do when we're referring to Jesus. Because it's what Wentz wants. I don't know if he wants that, actually. Moving on. Let's go to What's the Line Saying. So it's Eagles-Bears this weekend in Vegas. I don't think they totally, like, the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. They're playing the best team in the NFL. And I think this line is too low. I don't think Vegas has adjusted lines. You know, I don't think they know how high they can make these Eagles lines. I mean, the Eagles have won their last, like, what, three, four games by 27 points? Like, they're blowing teams out right now. And I don't know, like, I think if this was the Patriots, this would be like a 16.5 point line. The Eagles are playing dominant football. And now they're going to go against Mitch Trubisky? Come on. Do you guys remember, like, when Jim Johnson was here, how amazing it was to go against rookie quarterbacks because the Eagles absolutely ate them up? That's how I feel about Mitch Trubisky this weekend. This poor kid is going to come in here into this fan base, into this stadium. He has no shot. He's got no shot. They're going to murder the Bears. 13.5 points. I think it should be 16. I think the Eagles are going to win by at least 20. Like, 13.5 points is not, it's not high enough. It's not high enough. 13.5 is way too low, and I don't think it's a trap or anything. Like, the Bears have a semi-decent defense, and they're just a semi-decent team. But the Eagles are rolling right now. They're coming back home. They're going to run the ball right down their throats. I mean, as long as they don't do what they did for the four drives at the end of the first half, we'll be fine, and we'll win by 30. 13.5 points is not low enough. The line, what's the line saying, has been on fire per usual. I think we're like 8-2 on the year. Even though, if you want to count that Panthers game, which I'm not counting, but I'll take the 8-2. It's fine. It's fine. 8-2 on the year. The Eagles are going to win by 20 on Sunday. They're going to move to 10-1. The Bears have no shot. This line should be higher. That's how I feel. You've been listening to the Counterpoint Podcast, brought to you by BGN Radio and BGNRadio.com. Thanks to Joe DeCamera for joining me and not agreeing with me, which made me sad. I thought Joe would come out with a little bit more fire after that quote. I mean, that's an utterly preposterous quote from Corey Clement. And I think the right answer and the only answer is to cut him right before the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Because, you know, next man up, right? That's what I'm saying. All right. Eagles by 20 on Sunday. And we'll be back on Wednesday.
What, your second record, and it's a song you wrote?
Yes, I write my song.